Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Let Jesus speak now in the worlds of politics, business, arts, science, technology, and social media.
You treat your pastor the way you would treat Jesus. You make his life miserable, don't think it's because you love Jesus. You make your pastor's life miserable, it's because you hate God.
Nowhere does the Bible teach that being a Christian means that your sinful desires go away.
Did God really forgive my sins when the pastor pronounced me forgiven, when the water of baptism was poured on to me, when I ate Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper? I didn't see any forgiveness of sins, but I trust the promise.
Western New York State Independent Baptist pastors love Issues, etc.
I lost count how many fellow pastors, how many fellow Christians in the last 10 or 20 years have gone the adoption route. Of the people that I personally know, and probably most of those are pastors and their families, I really lost count of how many have said, we are going to adopt children. Now, sometimes it's because they can't have children of their own, and sometimes it isn't. Sometimes they go the adoption route because these children need parents. What is it about a Christian worldview, a Christian ethos, that makes Christians so enthusiastic about adoption? And since there are some concerns raised about Christian adoption, sometimes Christians unwittingly in their enthusiasm, some allege, engaging with adoption programs that are less than reputable, are those concerns legitimate? We're going to be talking about Christian adoption and concerns regarding it. Dr. Russell Moore joins us for the first 10 minutes of the program on this Friday afternoon, November the 1st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. We will restart our Christ in the Old Testament series with him today. We'll be looking at Revelation 7, which is the appointed reading for All Saints Day, and its strong connection, verse by verse, to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Dr. James Hitchcock joins us after that. There's a PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly story titled Catholic College Identity. You can find a wide variety of what is considered to be Catholic identity in Catholic colleges and universities. Which one is the true Catholic identity? Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University will be our guest to answer that question. Pastor Heath Curtis will join us after that. We'll begin a series with him on the Christ-centered life. He's author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Five Things You Can Do to Live a Jesus-Centered Life. And then, last of all, on this Friday afternoon, November the 1st, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Four soundbites we play for you. You listen, and then you call, you email, or you go to our Facebook fan page and you vote, and your vote determines which one will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Russell Moore is president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He's author of several books, including Adopted for Life, The Priority of Adoption for Christian Families and Churches. Dr. Moore, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Really good to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
What is it about the Christian mindset, the Christian ethos, if you will, that makes Christians so often very enthusiastic for adoption?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One of those things being that the Scripture tells us to care for the fatherless, for the widow and the orphan, James 1:27. And so the Christian church has always been involved in caring for those who cannot care for themselves. And one of the things that many orphans need is a family. And so that naturally lends itself to a concern for adoption and foster care and other ways of ministering to orphans. Secondly, though, I think it's because of the gospel. We have been brought into the family of God by adoption, which means that we understand that love is not simply a Darwinist protecting of genes, that adoption forms a real and true family. That's the sort of family that we've come into in the family of Christ.
You are adopted yourself. I wonder how you respond to some public concerns regarding Christians' involvement in various adoption programs. How would you characterize them, and do you share any of those concerns?
Well, a lot of the concerns that have been given out there in the public square are the kind of concerns They come from people who would not be happy regardless of what Christians were doing. So the very people who are saying, well, these Christians, they're adopting children and they're just trying to evangelize those children, are the very same people who, if Christians were not in the forefront of adopting children, would be saying, look at these Christian hypocrites. They care about unborn children, but they're not willing to adopt children. And I think that's a very unfair thing. I also think it's unfair for people to turn around and say, look, there are all sorts of ethical problems that can happen with adoption out there. Therefore, we ought to evaporate the Christian concern for adoption and orphan care. That's not at all the case. Instead, Christians, and evangelical Christians particularly, are the ones not only calling on people to adopt children who need to be adopted, but also addressing those injustices and working to make sure that those things don't happen. So I think that those are largely opportunistic attacks upon people who are doing some very, very good work for the kingdom. There are of course all sorts of ethical issues that we have to address when it comes to trafficking, when it comes to keeping families together. But evangelical Christians who are involved in the orphan care movement are at the forefront of addressing those things.
How do you respond to that criticism that's been voiced rather loudly, that Christians, this isn't really about caring for children or about bringing parentless children into stable families. This is all about evangelization. This is just a pretense for the kind of unwarranted evangelistic and proselytizing fervor of Christians. How do you respond to that?
Well, I laugh at that because it's hard enough to get Christians to evangelize, and there are a lot easier ways to do it than 18 years of blood, sweat, and tears and parenting. And I think that's simply a ridiculous charge. I said to a reporter not long ago who said, isn't it true that evangelical Christians are adopting children in order to evangelize them? And I said, well, no truer than it would be to say that evangelical Christians are falling in love and getting married and birthing children in order to evangelize them. Of course, as Christians, we believe in teaching our children the gospel and teaching our children the way to faith in Jesus Christ. Frankly, every parent does that with the set of beliefs that parent holds. Secular, progressive parents teach their children the values they hold. Buddhist parents teach their children the values they hold. And Christian parents teach their children the gospel that they hold. And I think that's a very good and commendable thing. But frankly, what I and other evangelicals who care about orphans have been saying is, we don't just want evangelicals adopting children. We want all sorts of people adopting children and participating in the foster care system and ministering to orphans and to widows around the world, because we think it's a good thing for kids to grow up in families. That's part of God's good common grace creation mandate that he's given. But as Christians who ought to recognize Jesus in the most vulnerable, we ought to be, above all people, having consciences that are awakened to them.
How would you describe the Christian concern, or what should be the Christian concern, when it comes to the nexus of adoption and abortion?
Well, I think several things. I mean, one of the things is we have to understand that when we're dealing with abortion, we are dealing with an attack upon an orphan in the way that the Bible defines an orphan, which is a vulnerable child who has no parent to stand up for him or for her. So this is a connected issue. But also because we recognize and we understand that a person's value isn't summed up in what that person can do for us. A person is valuable in and of himself or herself. So we believe that unborn child has dignity and value and worth because he or she is created in the image of God. The same thing is true with that child who is suffering with fetal alcohol syndrome or with AIDS or with severe trauma in the background, that we're to love and to receive those persons as persons. And then also because in congregations where there are people who are open and welcoming of children who have been hurt and women who have been hurt, there are often women in that community who didn't know before that they had any option. It didn't know that there would be anyone who would receive them and help them through a difficult pregnancy to give birth and then to help her and her child in whatever way is needed, who start to see it in those congregations who have awake consciences to these things.
So that really accounts for the desire for these Christian adoption agencies and the willingness of Christian parents to adopt being high profile. In a sense, when it comes to the abortion issue, being able to say to desperate mothers-to-be, look, we're here. You don't have to listen to Planned Parenthood.
That's right.
We're here for your child, even if you won't be able to be.
That's right. And to be here for you and for your child in any number of ways. I mean, orphan care is not simply about adoption. That's a key part of it. And there are many kids who need parents and who need to be adopted. But it means caring for orphans and for their mothers, regardless of what that is. So there are some mothers in crisis pregnancy, we work with all sorts of organizations doing this, who need people to stand with them with education or job training or with parenting help or with those sorts of things, and to keep this mother and her child together. And congregations are doing that. There are other women who say, I can't care for this child, but I want to give this child a life, and I want to place this child in a good home and to give him or her a future. Congregations working with those moms. And then everything in between. Our congregations need to be those welcoming places that can do that.
One more question on that, and that is the news coverage that I've seen on the story about concerns regarding Christian adoption programs are drawing a distinction between foreign and domestic adoptions. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that one of the things that sometimes Christians want to do is to say, let's pit domestic adoption against international adoption. So you have the people who would say, why would we be adopting in North America when there are children around the world who have barely any subsistence at all, who need families? And then the reverse, why would we be traveling all over the world to adopt children or help children when we have children in our own backyard? I think that's a false dichotomy, and it's one that we've already seen when it comes to missions. There are always people who will say, why go around the world to share the gospel when we have lost people in our communities? Or why would we minister to people in our communities when there are people around the world who've never heard the name of Jesus? Both of those two things have to happen. And so I think we need to be the sort of people who are ministering to orphans overseas. That doesn't just mean adoption. That means working to fight against all sorts of things that are causing fatherlessness, from famine to lack of water to disease and all sorts of other things. And then also domestically, in the foster care system, in the adoption system, and in every other sort of way.
Before we let you go, Dr. Moore, you were recently featured in a Wall Street Journal story titled Evangelical Leader Preaches Pullback from Politics, Culture Wars. And some have interpreted this story to mean that you're advocating that Christians disengage on issues like abortion and same-sex marriage in the culture. Is this true?
Well, no. If it were true, it would mean that everything that I'm doing 18 hours a day is for naught. I'm calling on Christians to re-engage on issues ranging from abortion to marriage to family stability to religious liberty, but to do it with the gospel first. And to do it with the kingdom first. I remarked to a friend of mine that if secular reporters had been around when Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, the headline would have been, religious leader calls for full pullback from food. No, we have priority. We don't have pullback, we have priority, and we understand that means a different way of engaging, but it doesn't mean disengaging.
Dr. Russell Moore is a regular guest, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, author of several books, including Adopted for Life, The Priority of Adoption for Christian Families and Churches. You'll find a link to the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission and to the book Adopted for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Moore, thanks for being our guest.
Good to be with you, Todd. Thank you.
When we come back, we continue our Christ in the Old Testament series, talking about Revelation chapter 7 and its strong verse-by-verse connection to the prophet Isaiah. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November the 2nd. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2013 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 2nd at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Talk radio for the Christian worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.